Lenin of the Rovers, the gripping story of one man's fight to bring communist revolution to British football and sweep away the dross and debris accumulated by the modern game. Mindless vandalism, the Freight Rover trophy, and big fat publishers with nothing better to do. But our story starts 70 years ago in St. Petersburg in the final days of the Tsar's tottering regime, as the imperial family and its hangers-on plumb new troughs of decadence and sink to unheard-of moral depths. But through the mists of the Finland station comes a towering revolutionary figure, a man who is to change the lives of countless millions.
Tickets, please.
I must have dropped it. I got on at Belsize Park, honestly.
In a surprise attack, the Bolshevik forces storm the Winter Palace and install the world's first communist government. But disillusionment soon sets in. Could the new masters really be no better than the old?
We are family! I've got Stan and Trotsky with me! Oh, great number, boys. I think I'm going to like it here. Yeah!
4 years later, Lenin is dead. But his line does not die with him.
Whoa, cough, phew, great.
In the dead of night, in the steppes of Central Asia, a tiny baby is spirited away by a group of dedicated fanatics. The Lenin bloodline is preserved intact. Until finally, a new Lenin is ready, specially bred, mentally and physically perfect, ready to assume the mantle of his famous forefather and conquer the world. A superbly trained athlete, blessed with ball skills, comparable even to those of the great Jeff Askew. And a mental gymnast, capable of undermining the greatest club in British football itself, yes, Felchester Rovers, home of the famous Ray of the Rovers, unbeaten in their last million games. Little suspecting the whirlwind of political change that's about to overwhelm Felchester, Ray Royce discreetly discusses his team's strategy in the caravan in the car park with the physiotherapist's wife. The purpose of this limbering up, the biggest match of the season when the Rovers are due to lock horns with mighty Everpool. We're going straight over now to the studios of Footy Scene and your ace reporters, Brian Frankley and Frank Lee Bryan.
Good afternoon, Frankly Bryan here, and in the studio today I'll be asking Brian Frankley to give us his frank assessment of the big match prospects. Brian?
Well, frankly, my money's got to be on Felchester. I mean, they haven't lost a game since 1942, the cup are behind every week, they've won the cup every year since the general strike, and all without a change of hairstyle.
And frankly, Brian, I hear that they've even written a song to set them off on the Wembley Trail. It's called Felchester, 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 Felchester. That'll give the fans something to sing about.
Well, frankly...
Yes?
The chorus would be pretty thin if they do, frankly. The fans are getting bored, drifting away. Football's only one of many competing pleasures in this day and age, frankly. There's video nasties, alcoholism, wife-beating, and DIY.
Well, certainly a knotty problem for Ray Royce to think about in the midst of all the celebrations. 100 years old today, and he doesn't look a day over 23. Early today, I went down to Felchester Bridge and spoke to Ray on the steps of his executive caravan.
Oh, morning, Frankly.
Frankly, Ray, I have to ask you the big question. Last week, Felchester fans boiled a nun in Leeds, raped a police horse in Leicester, and set fire to the Minister of Sport in Bolton. And you were playing in Ipswich. Do you have any answers?
Yeah, we do have a problem. Our stewards often stop people at the gate with hammers, chisels, polyfiller, DIY accessories, that sort of thing. We've got an electric fence wired up to the national grid, but frankly, we can't even afford to run it. We just spent £1 million on our new player, and we're just about cleaned out.
Now that's Ricky Lenin, your new balding maestro.
Yeah, Lenin, the Russian boy.
Now, you bought him from the Swiss club, FC Toblerone. How do you think he's going to adapt to the English conditions?
Well, frankly, this lad's got a football for a brain. Which is quite unusual for this club. I mean, they're great lads here, all the commitment in the world, but they aren't exactly going to win Mastermind. Frankly, they'd have trouble ordering a Big Mac.
That bad?
Yes, they can't even remember the words of the club song.
You mean the one you're recording tonight?
Yeah. Great, lads, great. Another few checks and you'll get that last bit right.
It's a lot to remember at once.
When this new boat comes, he can do all the difficult bits for you. They say he's had a bit of education, like.
I went to the Borstal of late.
Didn't he go to some university in Siberia?
After I was chucked out of Charterhouse, that is.
A bit of a radical, I heard, boss. Refuses to play on the right wing.
Well, I'll handle him.
Me dad was so cross, I didn't get me little fishy or me little dishy. The boat used to come in every Thursday. And we'd be down on the beach looking for sea coal when they start to unload the bloaters. And the smell would waft, like, into the kitchen, where me mum would be cutting the heads off slugfish. Anyway, come tea time, me uncle would be released on bail at Stevie.
Right, you go and get the dinner, and switch on the radio and he's go out. It's time for footy scene.
Meanwhile, in the back of a speeding taxicab, Ricky Lennon surveys the featureless Dorchester landscape and ponders on an uncertain future.
This is Belchester, mate. Jewel of the Midlands, mate. Only 7 hours from London. Fantastic opportunities for industry.
Sprut?
I had that Ray Royce in the back of the cab once. What a player. 80 years he's Captain Belchester. Man and boy. And what a team. Not that they're exactly going to win Mastermind, though. I should know, Bob. I won it 2 years ago myself. Here, you were rusty then.
Sprut.
Thought so, mate. Thought so. I had that Mr. Gorbachev in the back of my cab once. What a dancer. Here we are then, Belchester Bridge, mate. That'll be, £800, Squire.
What? Is this some kind of imperialistic joke?
Well, it's a long way from London, don't
you? This is an outrage. You are profiteering at the expense of those less fortunate than yourself.
13 gallons of petrol, mate.
Then why don't you give me the free sherry glasses?
Some problem, gents.
Greetings. You must be Ray Royce. Can I borrow £800 sterling, please?
Plus tip, mate. Plus tip.
Don't worry, Charlie. I'll settle out of the petty cash later. I'm a bit strapped right now. We've just had the electricity bill, Ricky, but don't you worry about it. The gas fire's on in the boardroom, so if you'd like to come in and have a drink, I'm sure the boys are down to meet you.
I'd love a baby sham.
Ricky, I'd like you to meet our treasurer, Colonel Brace Cartwright.
Wah! Russian chap, eh? No, heavens! So you're that fella that's going to win the cup for us this year. But do with another trophy on the sideboard. Could do with another sideboard.
You know, this place is most luxurious.
Not bad, is it?
Deep pile carpet.
Saxminster.
Yes, but in my country, we have them only on the floor. Obviously, you are a very rich club. Why do you not pay no rates nor no taxes?
I was coming to that. I'd like you to meet our very good friend, Inspector Frawley.
Let's be amused.
And where is the chairman? You know, I have not seen him either. Something is not right here.
Is your car, sir?
I think the inspector's had enough Cointreau for one evening. Ring for a panda, will you, Colonel?
You're nicked.
This way. This way, Inspector.
Apologies about old Fraudy, Rick. Bit of an embarrassment at times, but a useful fellow to have around, if you get my meaning, Ricky.
Oh, all this fraud, this corruption. These are the outmoded trappings of a decadent and crumbling imperialist structure. Outside in the streets, the people are starving.
Oh, really, Ricky? Have another executive quail.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, son, we all know life's hard, but you're here to score goals. Play your cards right and it'll be birds, quails, and baby sham all the way.
Look, I don't care too much for money, Ray, because money can't buy me love. I must find that with the oppressed footballing proletariat in the dressing room.
Meanwhile, little suspecting the bombshell which is about to turn their world upside down, the Felchester squad relaxes in the dressing room.
Stavutia?
Well, I'll hang like a donkey at the far post. It's Ricky Lennon, a new star striker. Come in, son, make yourself at home.
Sprout.
I'm Terry Trotsky, midfield general, and this is Stevie Starling,
Satan number 3 short.
Right then, Ricky, me son, what can I do for you? Shirts, socks, cup final tickets.
Cup final tickets? Are we in the final?
Well, no, not yet, but we will be, you know, we always are. So semi-finals, 5-0 down, 10 minutes to go, and then bingo, it never fails. I got all this good party merchandise.
You disappoint me, Terry Trotsky. I had hoped to find more honesty down here on the shop floor. Why do you prostitute yourselves like the running dog hyena kangaroos of the director's box? What do you hope to get out of it?
Well, lots of money, mostly.
My point exactly. Money, money, money. It's a rich man's world. Don't you realize that your ball skills are being alienated into a commodity and a capitalist too?
I like money.
Yes, but it's the chairman who gets the profit, Stevie, for he controls the means of production.
The chairman's in Benidorm, Vic. He's wanted by way of CID on 17 charges.
Oh, this system is not good. If we could educate the proletariat, they could change it from below.
Easier said than done, Rickson. I mean, you can lead an horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Ah, but many hands make light work.
The term chicken comes easily to the pot.
Ah, precisely, Stevie, yes. But we will do the taming now.
We had a tame chicken once.
Footballers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your boots. The Red Dawn has arrived.
It used to come really easily to the pot. You just had to call here, chicky. And it would come to the pot just like that. And then it would walk away from the pot.
Think of it, boys. A communist football team. Each man giving according to his abilities and taking according to his needs. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
Hey, or put me through with a nice square ball. Buy me, Ricky. You mean overthrow the manager? Now that's what I call political thinking, son. Then we'd be in charge of Filchester Bridge.
It was called Leonard.
Yeah, the chicken.
Oh, enough of this talk of chickens. One day in Zurich Public Library, my friends, I discovered a book which was to change my life. Within its pages were all manner of mysteries.
I've read it. My Soccer Life by Bobby Charlton. Dragon book.
Comrades, I speak of another volume which lights our path forward. I have a dream, comrades, of a revolutionary new soccer system, where the team belongs to the people, where discontent will be a thing of the past, where the rich proprietors will finally come to face with their Waterloo. The history book on the shelf is always repeating itself. This will be an egalitarian team, a fraternal team, a free team.
Someone's going to take all the decisions, Vic.
Maybe.
You could have a point there, Stevie. I mean, think about it. If the directors get the chop, that'd be... that'd be 33% each of the gross before tax. Tell us, me old ball crusher, how do you propose to go about it?
Well, my plan is fiendishly simple. First, we need a two-thirds majority on the Executive Council of the Professional Soccer Operatives Association to go forward to a mandatory meeting of the representative parties involved and the 55% majority on the Controlling Committee of League Delegates, with the exception of those from reasonable facilities plus permission from the monitoring section and the creation of service controls at the municipal authority. We could push it through in, 148 months.
Well, can't wait 2 years, man.
It's simple. All we have to do is play out a really boring, dreary, nil-nil draw. The fans here know nothing except pulsating goal action. They'll never stand for it.
You mean like, chuck the game?
Isn't that rather unethical, Terry?
Page 2,354, Ricky. The end justifies the means.
You have a point, my bespectacled friend. But how?
I think I might have something.
Well, you should be at home in bed, then. With a big Sinex.
Oh, you silly idiot, Stevie. Do you understand nothing? We can't stop now because Terry has a cold?
It was a joke.
So you have time for witticisms, do you? With the whole future of Western society hanging in the balance? Obviously, I am not getting my point
across. All right, listen. Stop lurking on the edge of the box and just leave the plan to me. And I'll see what I can do about getting your point across, Rick. One of my contacts just happens to be a certain extremely important football commentator.
Hello again, this is Frank Lee Bryan. Welcome back to Footy Scene, and we're proud to have with us for the first time Dorchester Rovers' new million-pound balding tactical mastermind, Ricky Lennon, who I believe has got some unusual ideas he wants to bring into the club.
Ricky? May I speak frankly?
Yes, of course you can speak. Go right ahead.
The history of association football is the history of class struggle, frankly. Remove all conflict from the game, all competition, and the proletariat will be happy. I want to see goal scoring shared equally between the teams. On the basis of a 5-year plan.
Won't that make the action on the pitch rather dull?
The pitch? The pitch will be divided equally amongst the supporters.
What else will the supporters get?
I promised them bread, peace, and goals. It's a sort of 5-year goal plan.
I see, as opposed to Arsenal 5 goals a year plan.
Meanwhile, in the lush confines of the director's box, all is not well. As player-manager Ray Royce chews ruminatively on an executive quail, club treasurer Colonel Brace Cartwright is perturbed.
I'm perturbed?
Very perturbed.
Look here, Royce.
Extremely perturbed.
What?
Sorry.
Now, look here, Royce. This new Johnny.
Oh, you mean Ricky?
Yeah, this Ricky Johnny. I don't trust the blighter. He's fermenting indiscipline below stairs.
No, he's harmless, Colonel.
Well, when I was in India, we used to put chaps like that in a regimental tin box. 18 inches square, in the middle of the playground. Well, of course, at midday heat in Rangoon gets up to 500 degrees, you know. The horses used to milk in stables every day. That's how we used to cure indiscipline.
Don't worry.
Here we are, trying to print a 500,000 phony cup final tickets, and you tell me not to worry.
Now look, with 40 on a percentage, the law won't touch us.
Yeah, but damn it, Royce, the inspector doesn't even know we're printing the extra 499,000.
So who's going to tell him? Certainly not the Russian boy. It's not his style talking to coppers.
When I was in the jungle, we had a Russian fella seconded to our regiment. Couldn't take any chances, so we fed him to the regimental lethal virus. Took him the rest of his life to die. I advise you to display the same caution.
Look, Colonel, what can possibly go wrong? We've never even lost to Everpool. I'm telling you, the cup's in the bank.
Good Lord, have we got it already? Quick, get it down to the silversmiths. I'll stall for time.
No. I was speaking metaphorically.
Damn Nancy talk. Back in Finland, there was a fellow that spoke metaphorically. We tied him to an 8-foot metal spike.
I hate to disturb your reminiscence, Colonel. But we do have a job to finish.
Well, mum's the word, Royce. Dismiss?
Will Ray Royce really be dismissed? Meanwhile, on the field of play, our hero's plot is already beginning to take shape. In touch with events, as always, is TV's Mr. Football ace commentator, Frank Lee Bryan. Over to you, Frank Lee.
Well, this is quite extraordinary, because I have to tell you that the halftime score here at Belchester Bridge is Belchester 0, Everpool 0. Well, I have with me none other than football's Mr. TV, Brian Franklin. Brian?
Well, Frank Lee.
Yes?
This is a big question, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about 90 minutes. I mean, this is it, Brian. Frank Lee.
In-depth analysis there from soccer's Mr. Football, Brian Franklin. Of course, Belchester are without their inspirational player-manager, Ray Royce, who's absent today with a recurring groin strain. But they must be worried down in the Belchester dressing room now that nothing is going according to plan.
Well, everything's going according to plan, then.
Good, yes. Everything's going according to plan, then. Good, yes. Good. What is the plan?
Right. Now, pay attention to this chart, everybody, and I'll explain something. We are here at point A.
Oh, right. Well, that was pretty easy to grasp, then.
Yes, that was a great plan, Terry. Yes, I don't know what we'd do without you on the team.
Of course, like, I mean, when once I get to the heart of a problem, I didn't let go,
yeah,
didn't
I? There's just a tiny, tiny little bit more, you know. Stevie then goes to point B.
I'm lost.
I said Stevie then goes to point B.
Hang on, we haven't left point A yet.
Yes, yeah, Stevie, we have.
Well, I'm still here.
Right.
Look, Stevie goes to point B, the generator room switches off the electric fence.
Oh, yes, of course, yes, 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 yes. Switching off the electric fence, a brilliant and vital part of the plan. Remind me, Terry, why does he do this?
So the fans can get onto the pitch and demand the sacking of the board.
But where are we going to get all the sacks?
Look at that, bastards. You just handle the press, son. Stevie goes to the generator room and pulls the big green lever over to its fullest extent. Have you got it?
Well, you can trust me, Terry. I mean, we didn't want any mix-ups, do we?
Well, welcome back to Felchester Bridge and the astounding scoreline. Felchester Rovers 0, Everpool 0. The final score, a goalless draw. And here with me on the pitch is Felchester's new signing, the ace goal poacher, Ricky Lennon. And it looks like the supporters are turning ugly, Ricky.
Indeed, frankly. Every one of them is very ugly.
Not a great game for you either, Ricky.
Well, you win some, you lose some, as Engels once said.
The wise words there of Felchester physiotherapist, Ronnie Engels. Anything to add to that, Brian Frankley?
Well, frankly, I believe the news from the terraces is that the campaign to remove Ray Royce as manager has actually been mounted in half time.
Radical change is at hand. Soon the people will be falling into step, marching side by side, singing together, "We are family. I have all my sisters with me."
Well, sounds more like a loud hum to me, frankly.
No, that's just the electric fence being switched on.
Brad, take your stomach, you must have made a mushy, go ya.
Don't be upset, Ricky. It's just a safety precaution.
I wonder who could be so alert, so quick-thinking, and so level-headed as to do a thing like that.
Hello, everybody.
Mr. Shidji with a tin of pineapple chunks. Mr. Shidji, Mr. Shidji,
I did what you said. I pulled the lever right over.
Quick-thinking there by Felchester's number three, Stevie Starling. Well, at least nothing else can go wrong now.
Oh, search me, Colonel. I just saw this blinding flash.
Well, you know, Ross, I could have sworn we were standing in your caravan just now.
Oh, the electric fence. Some bloody idiots overloaded the electric fence.
On built-in obsolescence. Now, if you'd taken my advice and bought a gas fence...
Colonel! Colonel, we could not have powered an electric printing press with a gas fence.
Ah, a bit late for that now, Royce.
What I want to know is who's responsible. And I want to know now.
Well, here's that fella you want. Damn bearded commie saboteur. Ah.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
You tell us. What do you mean by wrecking our printing press?
Printing press? For in the press, you master yet you no mel.
That's easy for you to say.
What's your game, Baldy? You tell us how you rumbled us, eh?
I'm afraid that's a request you'll have to put formally at the next meeting of the new People's Committee.
What I'd like to do, Lenin, is to have the top of your head sewn off, your brain removed, and to dance up and down on it with crampons.
Well, we can propose that at the committee meeting, too, if you like. I myself shall be attending to find out what on earth's going on. Not that I don't know, of course. Yes, here's Terry. He'll be able to tell me.
What Ricky was trying to say was that the police will be here any minute to investigate the explosion, mainly because I just telephoned them. That Inspector Fraudley won't feel very magnanimous when he discovers 500,000 slightly charred Cup final tickets. And that if you leave immediately, you'll just be in time to pick up your tickets for the next steam tramper to San Hovel.
Where is this San Jovel?
About 1,800 kilometers up from the Orinoco.
Mind the piranhas.
I demand to see at least 5 solicitors.
Come, come, Comrade Colonel. Don't raise your voice. You are a gentleman, a scholar, and an acrobat.
So, if you gentlemen would just like to sign this document handing over complete control of the court, or I won't give you the tickets and you'll be arrested, won't you?
Damn you, sir.
We'll be back.
And now, gentlemen, I believe the taxi's waiting. 2 Ferrari stops, Sam.
Going on holiday then, are you, gents? Lovely weather for it. Went on holiday myself once. Didn't like it. Greasy food. Unbearably. Packed with foreigners. It's the last time I got to Skegness. Stay at home, that's my motto. Still, if you gents have got nothing better to do, I'm not saying my mother-in-law's fat, mind you, but... Blamey, that was lucky.
I take off my trousers to you, Terry. You planned the whole thing. How did you manage it?
Simple, Ricky. Club could never afford to run the fence on match days, but the lackey bills were something shocking, son. Someone was using it during the week. That's when I discovered the portable printing press and had the idea of putting 17,000 volts through it. Which, curiously enough, is the number of shares I now hold in the club.
You realise, of course, that the number of shares will have to be fully ratified by the democratically appointed chairman of the new Central Committee.
Who's he, then?
Me.
And you realise, of course, that your name doesn't actually appear on these papers.
Whose does, then?
Guess.
You need hands, Terry. To hold someone you care for.
Ricky, man, stop lurking at the far post. Come on, love, we're in this together, equally. Millions at our disposal. We could create the world's first communist football club. Think of it, son. We could do anything we want.
The world is our tortoise.
Well, hello again and welcome to another edition of Footy Scene. And we have with us in the studio the new player-manager of Felchester Rovers, Ricky Lennon. And with him to help us with any language difficulties is his agent, Terry Trotsky. But Ricky, tell us, how are you settling into your new position?
Sprout. Ricky says he's settling in fine.
And the future?
Ricky says he's really looking forward to the challenge of guiding Felchester FC to even further success in the years to come.
At the end of the day, frankly, it's just 11 men and 11 balls.
No, 11 men and one ball.
11 men and one ball.
And 90 minutes.
And 90 minutes.
Well, thanks, Ricky.
Well, thanks, Ricky. thank you, Brian.
Frankly, Ricky.
Yes?
Well.
You said frankly, Terry.
Yes?
But
and as the quiet shadows of evening shroud softly the dark silhouette of the majestic stadium, all is calm and peaceful once more at Felchester Bridge. In a simple, unassuming caravan in the executive car park, Ricky Lennon celebrates his elevation to player-manager with the physiotherapist one. Meanwhile, across the city, the club's jubilant fans celebrate as only they know how by the...